Great. Well, good evening, everyone. Lovely to see you. Tonight, we're going to continue our real life issues series. The last one we did was a few weeks ago, and we looked at the topic of singleness. Tonight's topic's a little bit more difficult to speak about, but it's very, very relevant. And I'm going to talk about this huge issue, and that is pornography. Now, some of you might be sitting here tonight thinking, that's not the kind of thing we should be talking about in church. It's not an issue I want to think about on a Sunday evening. But as a pastor, I think we would be very, very foolish, and we would be very naive not to think about this topic. The Bible talks about sexual immorality. The reality is, pornography is a huge real-life issue at the moment. It's one of the biggest issues facing the Christian church. We live in a sexual age. The things that have happened in the last 10 years are beyond our imagination. We are surrounded by sexual material. We've never had as easy access to pornographic material. It used to be you had to go maybe to a specialist shop or the top shelf in a public place, in a public shop. But with the introduction of the internet, free access, everybody's got access to it now. Everybody's got access to it in the privacy of their home if they want to find it. And it doesn't cost anything. And it's only a few seconds away. I have a mobile phone here in my pocket. I use it a lot for my ministry. It's great help phoning people, emails, lots of different things I use. But it's actually something that's very, very dangerous as well. In fact, in a few seconds' time, I could be watching hardcore pornography on this phone that's in my pocket. And that's the reality. And we have teenagers who have got free, open access that they never would have had years and years and years ago. It has never been easy to live as a Christian, but today brings great challenges, greater challenges than any other generation has faced, to be pure in mind, in heart, and in body as well. Pornography is often a secret sin. It's viewed in secret. It's hidden from family members. But as a pastor, I do deal with it. I deal with it. People who come to me and say, I've got a problem with this. I'm struggling with this. Number of people I've been dealing with, working with, but also realizing this is a hidden sin. And if there are a number of people who have come to speak to me as their pastor, there are many, many more who've never come and opened up and shared that with me. Let me give you some staggering statistics. If you don't think this is a real life issue, if you don't think this is a problem, you need to listen to these statistics. Now, I know statistics are one of these things that can be contrived, and how accurate they are, who knows exactly the detail. But these are statistics that will make you think. Surveys have found that 90% of men in the UK have viewed pornographic material. 90%. People often think that's a male problem. You know, real red-blooded males. Statistics would say in the UK, 65% of women have also viewed pornography. No, it's not always with women visual. Quite often it's written, graphic novels, those kind of things, stimulate the mind. The internet has taken over our life. Most people have access to computers and smartphones. We use the internet every day to look up things. How would we survive without Google? Here's an official statistic from Google. One quarter, that means one in every four searches done on the internet are for pornography. One in every four is for pornography. Surveys done in the church also tell some staggering statistics of people, church people who've been interviewed, who've been honest enough to give accurate answers. It says that half the men who belong to churches struggle with pornography. Half of men. And here's another one. 35% of pastors who have been interviewed say this is a current struggle for them. One in three of pastors. This is one that will make you think and trouble your heart. It troubles my heart. What is the average age in the UK for people to start viewing pornography? The average age for people to start, 11 years of age. That's primary school. I have an 11-year-old daughter myself. Pornography is huge. One in every four of internet searches is for pornography. Which age group are the biggest consumers? Which age bracket view the most pornography? It's boys between the age of 12 and 17. This problem's real. We can't ignore it. It's huge. It's in the church. It's in society. Yesterday, I was opened up a national newspaper that I bought yesterday morning, not knowing what was inside. In the middle, they had a health section. The leading article in this secular national newspaper in their health section was about the dangers of pornography. People are saying this. This isn't just people in the church are saying this is a problem. This is having a huge effect on the minds and the lives of people in our society. In fact, one U.S. state last week, the state declared a public health warning against the dangers of pornography on its citizens. Porn thrives on fantasy. It lives in a fantasy world, but it is destroying real people with real relationships. Some people out there think it's harmless. It's nothing too much to worry about. It's just something people look at. Don't be fooled. If you play with fire, you will get burnt. If you play with fire, you will get burnt. Because what pornography does is it distorts things. It distorts God's design. It distorts God's design for love. It distorts God's design for intimacy and for sexual relationships inside of marriage. It leaves images in people's minds that cannot be removed. And it fills the minds with perversion as well. It affects people's thoughts. It affects people's actions. It leaves people full of guilt. And it spoils real relationships with real people. Pornography is a major real life issue. Perhaps you struggle with that this evening. I trust tonight will be helpful. Perhaps you're a parent. And if you're a parent, you need to take this seriously. You need to be concerned and you need to be putting things in place to help your children as they come and live their lives in an overly sexualized world. Maybe you're here this evening and think, this is not an issue for me. It's not a struggle. What's going to be said tonight is not going to be relevant to me. Well, it may help you to pray for the rest of the body, for other believers. But actually what we're going to look at tonight as we look into God's word and we think biblically about this here, what we're going to say tonight can apply to any temptation. You mightn't struggle with this temptation, but perhaps you struggle with other temptations. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's you struggle with pride. Maybe you struggle with telling the truth. Maybe you struggle with your relationships with other people. There's lots of other sins that are mentioned in the Bible. And what we're going to look at tonight will help you deal with temptations, no matter what your struggles are. So whoever you are in the room tonight, we trust that this will be beneficial for you and to help you live a godly life. I'm going to pray now. I'm going to hand back to you. We're going to sing a few more songs, and then we're going to come. We're open God's word, and we're going to look at this real life issue. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you that you are a good and a true God. You're a God who loves us. And you're a God who has given us your word to show us how to live godly lives. We thank you for your great and your perfect plan for human relationships, particularly for the relationships between men and women. We thank you for your design for love and for sex and for marriage. We thank you your way is best. And help us in a sinful world that distorts your good and perfect ways. Help us as a group of people to overcome sin, to fight temptation in a world that is turning its back upon God and his ways. We pray you'd help us to live godly lives and holy lives and lives that overcome temptation, not because we can do it in our own strength, but that you provide the strength for us to live godly lives. Help us this evening. Bless us this evening and help us to fix our eyes on you. In Jesus Christ's good name we pray. Amen. Got a Bible with you this evening, really helpful. If you turn to the book of Ephesians, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4. So the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and when you find that, we're going to commence to read at verse 17. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have been given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So I've said in our introduction, pornography is widespread, but pornography should not be widespread amongst Christians, amongst believers. In fact, this passage here, talking to people, says you should see a difference. You should see a difference from people who are still in ignorance, who haven't come to Christ, who haven't had the power of the gospel transform their lives. You should no longer walk in the way that you once did when you give in to sensual thinking, deceitful desires, impurity. Christ should actually make a difference in the life of believers. And what it talks about here in this passage in Ephesians is that when we come to Christ, the difference should be that we should put off our old self. Look at verse 22. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. In other places in the Bible, we'll talk that about. That's our flesh. That's our sinful nature that we had that governed our life. But actually, when somebody becomes a Christian, they're a changed person. They are a new creation. And so we need to put on our new self, verse 24, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so when you look at somebody who's a Christian and you look at a believer, there should be a marked difference from somebody who doesn't know Christ. But sadly, too many Christians are given into sinful desires. They're living in a way as if there's no change. Christ has made no difference. And if pornography is a real life issue, lust is actually the problem. Pornography might be the issue, but lust is the real problem. In fact, not just lust. The real problem is our sinful hearts. It might manifest itself in different things. Lust might be an issue for you. You might struggle with a different sin, maybe jealousy, maybe pride. Fill in the blank, whatever that struggle might be for you. And if these are issues for you, as we think about this tonight, what must you do? Well, we're going to look at four things this evening. Four things that we all must do, whether we struggle with pornography or we struggle with other sins. This should be relevant for whoever we are, no matter what our sin and our struggle is. And here's the first thing we want to think about tonight. We must hate sin. If you want to deal with this issue, struggle with pornography, the first thing you must do is you must hate sin. And you must name it exactly as it is. That's what pornography is. Pornography is sin. Whatever form it comes in, whether it might be a visual picture, a video, some sort of written novel, whatever it is sin. And the reason it's sin is because it's contrary to God's way. And what it actually does is it distorts God's good design. God's good design, as we find it here in Scripture. Because sex is actually a good gift. It's a good gift that God has given to his people. It's to be shared between two people, the Bible tells us, between a man and his wife, not just any woman, a man and his wife, in a real, loving, caring, intimate relationship. Anything outside of that, according to God's perfect plan, is sin. Now, we find different names for it in Scripture. Sometimes it's called adultery. Sometimes it's called fornication. And no matter what form it takes, anything that steps outside of God's perfect plan is sin. And it's actually sin against God himself. It's sin against the holy God. Yes, it might be, you think it's a sin against your spouse or against another person, but actually and ultimately it's sin against God. Let's think back to the Old Testament where King David actually committed adultery. He committed adultery with another man's wife, Bathsheba. And Psalm 51 is his great psalm of confession of his sin. And it's that great psalm of repentance as he comes back to the Lord. And what does he say at the start? He says, against you alone, O Lord, have I sinned. He saw what he had done was wrong. It was sin. It was sin committed with a woman. It was sin committed against another man. But ultimately, it was sin against the Lord. And God didn't design his plans here and give us in Scripture just to spoil our fun. God's plan is always the best plan. God's plan for intimacy between a man and a wife, God's plan for relationship is better. It is better than anything that pornography could ever offer. Yes, it might look inviting, but it will always fall short. It will never satisfy in the way that God's perfect plan for relationships between a man and woman will. Now, too many of us can be blasé about this, can be blasé about pornography or lust. Some people have the attitude, well, sure, every man struggles with that. Every man struggles with a visual temptation. We need to view this the way God views it. We need to take this seriously. We need to name this exactly as it is. What we're dealing with here is sin. This passage here in verse 22 describes it as deceitful desires. They're deceitful because they sell us one picture and they fall so well short. Deceitful desires. And you will never overcome lust or this temptation, whatever temptation you struggle with, unless you get a real vision of what it is. This is sin. And what we need to develop is a real hatred for sin. It's sin because God hates it. God hates it himself. And it's sin because it's what Jesus Christ died for on the cross. And so if we're going to deal with this issue, if you're struggling with this issue, that's where you need to start. You need to realize exactly what it is. And maybe you need to start praying tonight and say, God, replace any interest, any longing I have this, and instead put a hatred in my heart for what this is. Sin against a holy God. May the very sight of it cause hatred in my eyes. May the very thought of it cause hatred in my mind. May the very looking upon it cause a hatred within my heart, because this is sin. And this is sin that Jesus Christ suffered in agony on the cross for. We need to see it as it really is. And so maybe the next time you're tempted to look at something, or to click that button, or to click the play button on a video, you need to think about exactly what it is. Do you know what a good image to put in your mind instead would be? Think about the cross. Instead, think about Jesus Christ hanging on that cross, taking the pain and the punishment for that sin. And pray that God would give you a real, real hatred. Not a pleasure for it, not a passion, but a hatred for what exactly it is. And when we have a hatred for sin, and when we see it exactly as it is, we'll want to turn away from it. We'll not want to look upon it. We'll want to turn away. But when we turn away, we actually need to turn to something which is better. We need to fill our minds and our hearts with something which is greater, something which is pleasant. This is actually what we call repentance. When we turn away from sin and we captivate our minds and our hearts with something greater. And so you must hate sin, but secondly, you must turn to Christ. You must turn to Jesus Christ, because if sin is the problem, Christ is the answer. That's what our Bible tells us. There's nothing revolutionary we're going to say tonight. There's nothing radical you've never heard before. This is just basic Christianity. We must turn from our sin, and we must turn to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into this world to do what? To call sinners to repentance. He died on the cross for all sin. All the sin, the thoughts that go through our minds, the things that we've thought, the things that we've done. He died for all sin, and he died for this particular sin as well. For pornography. And the reality of the gospel is there is no darkness that is too deep that the light of the gospel cannot penetrate. Your mind may be filled with dark things. Your mind may be filled with tragic images that should not be there. But there is no darkness too deep that the light of the gospel cannot penetrate and change. Jesus Christ came in this world to change the hearts and the minds and the lives of sinful people. Even the most defiled minds and the most defiled hearts as well. And Jesus Christ has the power, through the renewing of the Holy Spirit, to change our sinful lives. Christ has a greater power. You might think this temptation has a real grip upon me. It's a power that I cannot overcome. Well, the gospel tells us that Christ has a greater power. He has a greater victory over sin. And through the power of the Holy Spirit working in the hearts and lives of people who have turned to him, he can empower us to give us victory over any sin. There is no sin that is too strong. There is no sin that has too much of a grip upon people's lives that Christ cannot give us the victory. Perhaps you're here this evening, you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, but maybe you struggle in this area. You've looked at things you know you shouldn't have looked at, and maybe tonight you feel real guilt about what you've you've spent your time on. You might feel guilt, but actually sin is your problem. That guilt is your conscience that you have sinned against God. And if sin is your problem, Jesus Christ is your answer. And so you need to turn from your sin and turn to your Savior. He offers us forgiveness. He never comes and says, sorry, you looked at that, you're too bad, you're beyond my grace, you're beyond my love, you're beyond my mercy, you've gone too far in the filth that you've looked at. No. His grace and his love is for anybody who turns to him and seeks forgiveness. But there's also a misconception that thinks that repentance is only for our salvation. That first time when we cry out to God, we turn to Christ as our Savior. Yes, when we repent and we cry out to Christ, we are saved. We are always saved if we've put our true faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But repentance actually needs to be an ongoing process in the life of a believer. In fact, it should be a daily practice. Every day we should search our own hearts. And we should search our own hearts and examine our hearts to see what sin is actually lying there. What sin has been in my mind and in my mouth and in my heart over the past day? For different people in this room, it will be different sins. But each day, we should take the time to say, how have I failed you, Christ? How have I fallen short? How have I not walked in a new way of life, but I've gone back to my old sinful ways? And on a daily basis, we need to confess our sins. Daily repenting, not for salvation, but just for our ongoing close relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you want to overcome sin, do you know what you need to do? We all need to constantly look to Jesus. Constantly turn our eyes to him, looking for forgiveness, praying that he would fill us with the Holy Spirit to give us the power to put off that old self, that old sinful way, that old way that we used to walk in. We don't want to walk in that way anymore. That God and his Holy Spirit would help us to put on a new self, to live a God-honoring life. Remember tonight, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've looked at in secret, no matter what you've filled your mind and your heart on, there is no sin that goes beyond the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. And if you're struggling with this tonight, you need to turn to Christ, confess your sin, and trust him. And no sin is beyond the power of God to help. He can help us overcome and set us free from any sin. And so what we must do, reflecting on these two first points, is we must develop a real hatred for sin, to see sin exactly as it is. And when we hate sin, we will turn from our sin and we will turn to somebody's better. We will turn to Jesus Christ. And what we must do is we must learn to love Christ. Christ is greater. Christ satisfies in a greater way than pornography ever could. We sang that in our last song, Only You Can Fully Satisfy the Longings of Our Heart. We need to learn to love Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't happen in a vacuum. You don't just say, I'm going to love Christ. I'm going to love Christ more. I'm going to fill my mind and my thoughts and my heart, not with this filth. I want to fill my mind with a love of Christ, something which is pure, something which is holy, something which is better. That doesn't happen in a vacuum. We need to cultivate that love for Christ. That's why it's good to meet together. One of the reasons we meet together is to encourage one another in our faith in Christ and our love for Christ. As we sing songs, as we listen to his word, as we pray, it helps us to develop and grow in a love for Christ. But we need to spend time each day filling our mind with Christ. Not with the filth of the world. Fill our minds and our hearts with Christ. Spend time in his word. Spend time praying. Maybe even fasting, so we can spend that concentrated time with our Savior, praying, meditating upon Christ, thinking about sin, but someone greater, Christ. Thinking about him, developing that close relationship. You'll never have victory over sin if you don't develop that personal devotional life with your Savior, worshiping him, learning to love him more than you loved him before, growing in your love. And as your love for Christ grows, and as that grows and develops, what will happen? Your hatred for sin will grow as well. The two things go hand in hand. So we must hate sin. We must turn to something better. We must turn to Jesus Christ. But thirdly, we must avoid temptation. Now, it's very hard in our culture today, no matter where you look. You even put on the most innocent page on the internet, there's probably some picture down the side. There's maybe some junk mail that flies into your email box. You walk through any newsagents or supermarkets, you get these magazines with scantily clad ladies on the front or whatever. These images are all around us. They're on our television sets. It's very hard, unless you want to put on permanent blinkers, close your eyes, close your ears. It's very hard to avoid temptation that's all around us. But there are times we need to be like Joseph of old, when that temptation came to him in Egypt, temptation on a plate. It was his for the taking. And what did he do? He fled. He got out of that situation. If you play with fire, you will be burnt. And we need to remind ourselves of that. So we need to try and avoid temptations. Are there practical steps that we can put into place to avoid things? These are external things. Unless our heart is right, we'll never overcome. But we need to put some external helps in place as well. Are there magazines you need to avoid? Newspapers you need to stop buying? Are there programs you need to stop watching on television? Is there something you need to do with your computer? If your computer is the thing that's tripping you up, you need to get rid of it. Even if you spent lots of money on it, you need to get rid of it. Do you need to be accountable in some way? Do you need to put it in a public place? If this device in your pocket is causing you to sin day upon day upon day, you need to throw it away. You might think, I've spent hundreds of pounds on this. If this is causing you to stumble, you need to take this seriously. Go back to the old block that only made a phone call. That may be helpful for your spiritual life. You need to put practical things in place that will help you overcome temptations. You need to flee from things. You need to flee from things that may trip you up. Take it seriously. Examine your life. Are there patterns in your life? Are there times of day when you're maybe on your own and you fall and you stumble? What can you do? What can you put in place to avoid those situations? Now, as I said, outward steps will not change your heart. Only Christ can do that. But it's a sign of being wise. It's a sign of being a wise Christian if you put practical things in place that will help you avoid temptation. And here's the fourth thing. That's the final thing this evening that we want to think about. You must seek support. Pornography is often a private sin. It's something people struggle with on their own. Often many people don't know, or nobody knows anything about it. But God's plan for Christians is that they should support one another. Now, what I'm saying is, if you struggle in this area or some other sin, I'm not asking you to come up to the front tonight and make it like an AA meeting where we all confess, I'm so-and-so and I struggle in this area and I've struggled for years and these are the temptations that I'm tripping up on day and day again. I'm not saying public confession. But God's plan is not for us to struggle with sin on our own. God does not leave us isolated. God brings us into community. And the reason he brings us into community and the church is so that we can support one another in our daily struggles and battles with sin. Perhaps if you're struggling on your own, it would be helpful to share it with somebody else. Share your struggle, perhaps with me as your pastor, with elders. Perhaps you've got a godly, mature Christian friend or a spouse who you can go to, somebody you can trust, who will care for you, who will hold this in confidence, who will love you, who will pray with you, who will walk this journey with you as you try and overcome temptation, who will ask you questions, who will care for your soul. Is there somebody you can go to and say, I am struggling with this issue. It's hard for me to say, but I want spiritual help. The local church is the ideal context for battling sin. We are in a battle. We're in a daily battle against sin and temptation. And no soldier runs into battle on his own, does he? He goes in with the support. And that's part of the role of the church. Nobody likes to admit their weaknesses, particularly in Northern Ireland. How are you? I'm fine. Everybody's fine. How's your spiritual life? Everybody's fine. Nobody wants to admit, here's the things I struggle with. Here's the sins I struggle with. But let's get real. Nobody's perfect. One day we will be in heaven. Nobody in this room tonight is perfect. You sitting there tonight will be struggling in some areas. The person beside you may be struggling with different sins. We all struggle with different areas. But we're not meant to struggle alone. Nobody likes to admit to their weaknesses. So often we view it as failure. But God's plan is for us to come together. And wise, godly friends to pray with us. To ask us questions, to hold us accountable, and to encourage us to live godly lives. Here's four steps. Here's four very simple steps that will help us. We can apply it to any temptation, any sin we struggle with. Whatever your struggle is, you must learn to hate that sin. See it exactly as God sees it. Pray, God, help me to hate this. This is a sin that Jesus Christ died on the cross for. You must turn to something greater. Captivate your minds and your heart with something beautiful and pure. Jesus Christ. You must avoid temptation. What are the practical steps you can do that will take you out of situations where you stumble and fall continually? And seek support. We're not meant to go through. We don't just come together so a group of people on a Sunday night, our voices are better when we sing together and that's it. That's the only corporate bit we do. No, we're meant to be there to be a spiritual help and encouragement to one another. As we finish this evening, I want to take a few words just to speak to parents. There are a number of parents here this evening. I'm a parent as well. And these are not great days to have children as we think about the culture and the world they're stepping into. Now, every generation has been a sinful generation. But it just seems it's so much more in our face. And the access to these sinful things is just so much easier. We need to think about this as parents, and we need to take this seriously. If the statistics that I read to you earlier don't make you sit up and take this seriously, nothing will. But the sexuality of a whole generation, a young generation, is being formed at the moment, not by their parents, and it's being formed not by their church, but their sexuality and their thoughts on it is being distorted and depraved by pornography, which is just rife all around them. And as parents, we often look at our children, and we look upon them and we think they're so innocent. And what do we want to do with our children for as long as possible? We want to protect their innocence, don't we? We want them to live nice childhoods where they don't face anything like this, where it's not talked about. We want to protect their innocence. I'm sad to say it is too late. The innocence of our children has gone. Because they live in that world where they're bombarded with it, very graphically, all around them. If the average age of people starting to look at pornography is 11, what we need to do is to get truth to our children before their minds are distorted by the impurity which is all around them. Often their minds are distorted by a view of sex, which is dreadful, before they even encounter the truth of Scripture and what God's Word says. Yes, we want to protect our children's innocence, but let's not be naive. They're out there in a dangerous world that's getting there before we're even sharing the biblical truth. Christ teaches, or God teaches, with sexuality, but relationships and how we interact with people. And so we need to pray for our children. We need to pray for them that God will put His hand protection upon their hearts and their minds as they live in sinful worlds. I've got my eyes opened already between things that have been coming home even from the primary school classroom. Things that have been talked about and shared with in very graphic, disgusting details. And so what we need to our children is we need to teach them truth. We need to fill their hearts and their minds with something greater than the world is offering them. We need to teach them the truth of what God's Word says on these subjects. And we need to fill their hearts and minds with Jesus Christ, that they will desire Christ over everything else. Yes, we might want to avoid this. We might feel embarrassed doing this. But this is crucial. And if we don't take this seriously, our children's minds and their hearts are going to be distorted by a sinful world. And that's the reality of the society we're living in today. Don't assume that they know about God's design for sex unless we teach them the truth. It's not going to happen just by some process of osmosis. They come along to church and they'll suddenly know all what God's Word says. We need to take responsibility. And in Scripture, the responsibility for teaching our children truth falls with the parents. The parents have the primary responsibility. Let's be loving with them. Let's be open in a very honest way before their minds are distorted by the culture all around them. This is a big issue. It's a serious issue. And as a church, we need to take this seriously. So let's take it seriously if this is a struggle in your own life. Let's take it seriously as we pray for one another. Let's encourage one another in the truth. And let's think about our children, our young people. And let's take them seriously. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them earnestly. Let's speak biblical, godly truth into their life and show them a greater vision, not the vision that the world has, but a greater vision of a glorious Christ who loves them and is pure and perfect in every way. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for the truth of Scripture. We thank you for the change that you make in each of our hearts and our minds when we come to you. This is a sobering topic, Lord. This is a topic we'd love just to ignore and pretend it didn't happen. But this is our world, and this is our society. This is the filth that is surrounding us at this moment. And help us to see no pleasure in it. Help us to see it exactly as it is. A filthy distortion of your perfect plan for marriage and for sexual relationships as well. Give us a hatred for sin. Not just this sin, but every sin. May our hearts be repulsed by any sin against you. Help us to turn to somebody greater. Help us to turn to Jesus Christ. Help us to cling to him, the one who offers us forgiveness, no matter how dark, no matter how bad our sins have been. And help us to love Christ. Love Christ in a deeper way. Help us to spend time working on our relationship with Christ, that we would hate sin more and love Christ even greater. Help us to take this seriously, to avoid temptation. Help us to take those steps that will help us daily to live godly lives. Help us to support one another. Not to gossip about one another. Not to be just interested in these details, these struggles in people's lives because we want to think badly of them. Give us a love one for another. Concern about people's spiritual lives. Let's take an interest in encouraging one another to walk in godliness. And help us to be a church that does that. We pray, Lord God, for our children and our young people. We pray, Lord God, that you would put your hand of protection upon them. We pray that early in life their hearts and minds might be filled with truth and not deceitful lies. May their hearts and minds be captivated by a love for a Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray for parents. Help us, who are those people who are parents, take us seriously to teach our children, to guard our children, and to give them truth, to give them light in a dark, dark world. Help us, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus Christ's good name. Amen.